This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. Steve Geller joins us for our triple option feature. A little after 5:20 today, we'll talk a little bit LSU baseball with Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher. Before we go to Jimmy and Gretna, Mike Gennetti does a fantastic job with Spot Track. And he has this deal on X that Derek Carr has been paid over $60 million over the last two seasons with the Saints, but New Orleans has only accounted for $19.8 million of cap money for Carr over those two seasons. So what he's pointing out is if they do a full conversion, the dead money cap hit for Carr next season would be $59.67 million. So this is almost not a personnel decision. You also got to look at all that money now that is being wrapped up in Derek Carr at this stage. But again, Mike Gennetti does a fantastic job and got sent that quote to me. But they paid him $60 million over the last 2 years, but they've only accounted for 19.8 of it on their salary cap. So somewhere down the line, you got to pay the piper. And if next year's dead cap hit for Carr would be, he's estimating $59.67 million. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy in the huddle with Mike and Charlie. And Jimmy, before you start, the news this morning that broke about allegations of gambling, and again, it's just allegations now being investigated, and most likely this is something coming from Vegas. They see it long before FBI people here or anybody else does. Did that catch you by surprise? Because four of those five players, they were the best four players basically on the team for UNO, and it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, look, I went to the game the other night, Monday night. They're down to eight players. It's been a rough year for the new coach, Stacy Hollowell, after the Schlesinger term. The era ended there. Only won four games. I think they might. That was the last home game. But, yeah the best players were out. There's some other universities that have been indicted or implicated in this stuff. So, it's a rough year. We all know about the budget issues at UNO. Enrollment's been down and since Katrina, and it's catching up. Really wanted to call and let the people know that I'm sure you, Mike, and Charlie have heard Master P. He's heard about this, and he's stepping in as in the name, image, licensing era, which UNO has really none of because we don't have a football team. It's really all goes through basketball. But Master P, the famous rapper down here, is stepping up as the new chief of operations, president of basketball operations, above Hollowell, the new coach, in hopes that they can get this budget situation situated, and save UNO Athletics, save the whole university. I wanted to get your take on that. I guess we're going to see what happens with the gambling, or, you know, the point shaving, whatever, this and that. But I'm excited. We needed something, because it's been a miserable year for UNO between the losses, the players not showing up, and now we know why. To me, Master P is the type of guy who could generate some interest, i.e. like a Deion
Sanders
type.
I think that the one thing, he can go to people who have money to give money. And this is part of kind of past the collection plate that you see all across college athletics today to try to keep up. And they do have people with money, and if you ask them at the right time and the right situation, they're going to give it up. And so I applaud UNO to do that, to reach out to Percy and to get him involved. And Master P knows a lot of people that could help generate money to UNO athletics. And they, you're right about that, Jimmy. They in a money crunch, major league-wise. So if any help that Master P and Percy Miller can do, I'm all for that. And we'll have to find a little bit more about this information. But I know from in years past, and I have a couple people that I grew up with that actually work in Vegas, and they'll tell you the people that catch them in these type situations, it's not the FBI locally. It's Las Vegas that cops them in. And remember with the Alabama baseball coach and somebody involved with him placing bets in Ohio. And that was caught not by anybody local. That was caught by Vegas. And they've, the one thing with them is they don't want you, they always want you to think this is all legit. If you have any sort of aspirations in your head that maybe that this isn't legit and I'm not gambling, that hurts money. You're taking money out of my pocket now. And so they want this to be legit, and they copped out a lot of people that were involved in gambling stuff in the past.
So it's a school and an NCAA investigation that's apparently been launched into the UNO basketball program with these four players that are accused of sports betting. And it's something that we know very little about early on, Mike, because it literally dropped
We don't know
today.
The dynamics of it.
We don't know the dynamics. We don't know the time frame. We don't know the amount of money that was bet. We don't know any of the type of specific information, but we'll find out more as the investigation kind of goes along here. It's obviously fascinating. It's something that we'll follow in the coming weeks. But I mean,
I was around the Hot Rod Hundley situation with Ned Fowler at Tulane, and that was before your time, Charlie.
But, yes, it was.
But in essence, that's how they got caught. It was a Vegas catch there, and they reported it to the people locally. So we'll have to see getting a little bit more information on exactly what's happening there at UNO. But listen, for Master P and Percy Miller to be involved, I'm all for that if he can help out UNO athletics. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to James. James, you know how to with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, guys. I think I said this before. You know, Kellen Moore has a monstrous task on his hands, not just by the state of the franchise, but basically he's got to overcome Loomis's bad decisions. And you know, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it, but the more moves that Loomis makes, the more I like this kid, because he had to know he was stepping his foot in something after going and dealing with the Eagles, and the Eagles having such a great general manager like Howie. You know, he started picking up guards and making them tackles. You know, I think the best offensive lineman in this upcoming draft class probably going to end up as a guard. You know, but either way, I'm kind of hopeful that you know, this new head coach of ours is going to do a few things, and the first thing I want to ask you guys, do you think, because he was right there in the midst of Prescott's ascension as the quarterback due to his injury, how much better do you think Dak was as a rookie than Rattler? Keep in mind, you know, Dak had a
better offensive line, better running game, better receivers. No question. But I thought he did a great job with Dak, and getting Dak because Dak was a bit of a bolter at Mississippi State. He wasn't a guy that spent a lot of time reading coverage, you know, because his instincts was, okay, if my primary guy's not open, I'm going to take off and run with it. And he was skilled with that. I thought he really developed him in his ability to pick up secondary, third selections downfield. I thought that's what really Kellen Moore brought to the table with Dak, and Dak has praised him for that, that he kind of took my talent and took it to a different level. It's different in high school and college. And then you go to the pros, you got to be able to read and recognize coverages. And I thought he did a very, very good job of helping Dak with that sort of changeover. And you saw Cliff Kingsbury do a very similar thing with Jaden. Jaden's first instinct at times at LSU was, okay, if Malik O'Brien's not open, I'm taking off. I'm running with it. He was much more diligent this year with his runs. Not to say he didn't take off and run with it, but he was much more diligent running the football, and I think a lot of that had to do with Cliff Kingsbury's approach to how you handle him and getting him in a situation which makes him feel comfortable. I think Kellen did that with Dak Prescott in those first couple years with the Cowboys. But their offensive line, their receiving core, their running back core was better than what the Saints had. And so, again, Zeke got old, and then the running game really sort of sloshed off, and then you had some injuries and some age catch you up front along the offensive line. Charlie?
So when we talked with Babe Laufenberg about this, Mike, he mentioned the very unique connection that Dak Prescott had with Kellen Moore from Dallas when they went from teammates, and then Kellen Moore became the QB coach as soon as he retired from football, playing football, and then he became the offensive coordinator the very next year. So he went from being a teammate to being a quarterback coach to the OC. And once again, in that time, CBS Sports has a great article on this that they posted a couple years ago when Kellen was technically the OC of the Chargers, but the Cowboys had plenty of success with Moore ranking second in the league in points per game, 27.7, second in total yards per game, 376.3, behind only the Kansas City Chiefs in that time span from 2019 through 2022. And if you ask Dak Prescott and even CeeDee Lamb as well, they both gush about Kellen Moore and their relationship with him and how he made them better and how, you know, those numbers just don't happen by accident. Yes, there was talent on that Cowboys roster. You know, the offensive line was great for a time. They had weapons, and Dak Prescott obviously evolved as a passer under Kellen Moore. But Dak gives a lot of credit to Kellen, and Kellen gives it right back to him as well. Kellen's talked about the leader that Dak Prescott is, and it's a great relationship that they had. And Dak has also come out recently and said that he's happy for Kellen becoming a first-time NFL head coach in New Orleans.
And you heard the Eagles players say very similar things. If it was Lane Johnson or Saquon Barkley or, you know, AJ, exact same sort of things. My thing is, it's not about Kellen Moore, the coach. It's who he's coaching. Okay, this team needs the horses. And that's what they're lacking right now. They don't have enough of them football-wise. They need to get better personnel-wise, especially up front, offensive, defensive line. They need certainly another playmaker on the offensive side of football. But I think that Super Bowl game showed everybody, if you don't win up front, even the best, he was a mere mortal that game when he went up against the Eagles front seven. And they didn't even blitz one time in that game, but it was Kellen's ability to adapt to a new system that was built much more about the running game than he had ever been about during his career as a coach. When we come back, we'll have on with Scott Sanders, former Major League Baseball pitcher, now taking a close look at the LSU Tigers right after this break here on the Big 878 WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous, but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Former Major League Baseball pitcher, now he's in the real world, as Hebert would say. Scott Sanders, also covering the LSU Tigers for us. Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, brother. How you guys doing today?
Oh, good, good. Scott, I know last year you brought it up very quickly to us, and he was a highly recruited player, came in with a lot of accolades. But Steven Milam, I mean, you know, I don't know what more you could say about him. Is he pound for pound maybe the best LSU player they've had? Because he ain't got much on the hoof now, but, man, that little guy can play. And, you know, him switching positions, and we had Coach Johnson on. He sort of explained everything to us. But how well he swings the bat, how well he can play in the field, he's everything as advertised when he came out of high school.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, Steven Milam, he's one of those guys that you look at him, obviously he's not tall. But he is, let me tell you, he is, when I tell you ripped, that kid is ripped. Like, he doesn't, if he's got like 4% body fat, I might be exaggerating, because like his skin doesn't look like mine. His skin looks like it wants to tear. You know what I mean? But he is a ball of muscles. But the one thing about him, he's a grinder. You know, he's a baseball player. Obviously he's a switch hitter, and a lot of people don't really understand how hard it is to be a switch hitter nowadays. You know, because you literally have to put in the same amount of time on both sides of the plate. So with it, that ends up doing, that ends up putting you in the cage longer. You know what I mean? It takes your batting practice a little bit longer. So many things go with it. But, you know, he is just what they call a true grinder baseball player. And honestly, that's the type of – he is like Jay Johnson's perfect type of player. Like, that's the type of guys he loves.
Scott, we got to see the young phenom freshman himself in Schmidt. Again, a guy that I think had he kind of made it known that hey, I'm going to play Major League Baseball, I think he'd have been a pretty high pick. But he decides he's going to go to LSU instead. And we got to see him in the first outing. So as a former pitcher, kind of give us a scouting report on Schmidt.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, like I told you guys last week, his size is, I mean, he's got a perfect pitcher's body.
Yeah.
He's got a beautiful thing on him. But what separates him from anybody else is that curveball. You know, he's got a big league curveball as an 18-year-old kid. Obviously, you know, it can be erratic at times because he's 18 years old. You know, he might be 19 now. Let's call him 18 and a half or 19 years old. But obviously his fastball is live. You know, I mean, he's a pitcher. He's not just a thrower. But let me tell you, his curveball, when his curveball's on, you know, I ended up going out to the park early and hung out and saw the guys from Nichols and a few things. And then I came home and watched it on TV because I wanted to watch him pitch. I like watching him pitch on TV, to be honest, a lot of times because you can see the stuff better. And, man, I was impressed. But, you know, like I said, he by far is the most talented freshman to ever walk on LSU's campus ever. And that's big accolades.
Scott, looking ahead to this matchup against Dallas Baptist, I think it's going to be a really fascinating test because if you're looking at LSU's non-conference schedule, this is the one top 25 ranked team that they play. And then, you know, they start off their SEC slate with Missouri. So they're not really going to get tested for basically another month after this game. But this is a really strong matchup against a good team. Jay has kind of talked about them as you can pencil them in for 45 wins every single year. They're going to win Conference USA. They're going to be right in that conversation on the back end of hosting potentially. They're a solid team, and you're getting this midweek matchup against them at Globe Life Field. What I wanted to ask you about is the pitching for tonight. Connor Ware is getting the start. He got the midweek start last week as well. Want to get your thoughts on what you saw from him because Jay had raved about this guy preseason, especially you know fall and spring ball, calling him one of the best pitchers on the staff. He started the midweek game last week, didn't give up an earned run, three innings pitched, two strikeouts. And I don't know about you, Scott, but just watching Connor Ware, it felt like he was just in control for the three innings that he pitched.
Yeah, so Connor Ware is, you know, a guy, you know, coming out of junior college, had a lot of success. And I'll be honest, like, he's really got a bad draw because if he was here the past 2 years, he'd be starting probably Saturday and or Sunday. And, you know, this year with the arms that they have, you know, he's literally going to be probably the midweek guy. And obviously if somebody falters, you know, on the weekends, he will probably be the first guy to get a shot at that Sunday spot, you know. But he's just a guy, his fastballs, you know, he's 92, 94, can get up to 95 at times, but he's got a breaking ball and changeup. He controlled that game from start to finish. And tonight's going to be a big test for him because I'll be honest, this is going to probably be the best team he's probably ever faced, possibly, you know, possibly in his career and since he's, you know, come out of high school. So, but, you know, Dallas Baptist is a great RPI team to play because they're going to win 40 games no matter what. They might win 45. So, you know, you go out and beat them, you get those points. And RPI is obviously, it's big these days. So,
and then, you know, last week, I kind of anticipated that Zach Cowan was going to get a midweek start, the former Wofford ace, but he came out of the bullpen after Connor Ware. And I think it's an interesting decision by Jay Johnson and, you know, specifically Nate Yeske and the coaching staff, because it's a little bit of a different look, isn't it? Where you have like the tall left-handed pitcher and Connor Ware, who's all like 6'4". And then you kind of have the shorter, you know, right-handed pitcher with Zach Cowan. It's a little bit of a different look for an offense. I thought it worked really well last week. And I imagine they'll probably use that same formula tonight.
Yeah, I definitely think so. The other thing, I'm pretty sure Gavin Kidry at some point is going to possibly get to the game tonight. So I'm thinking between those guys and Kidry, I think that's going to – you know, obviously, one thing about Jay, when he has something working, he lets it work until it doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean? So I could definitely see, you know, I could definitely see that kind of same type of thing going on tonight. And, you know, obviously, tonight is going to be a good test. Number one, you're going to be excited. Everybody's going to be excited to play in, you know, a big league stadium. But at the same time, you know, there's not going to be that many people. So sometimes those big stadiums are only like, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 8,000 people. It kind of gives it a very weird dynamic. You know what I mean? So, you know, whereas if you come to the box and if there's 8,000, 10,000, 11,000, you can feel the people. But when you get in a big stadium like that with not that many people, so I'm not really sure what the crowd's going to be like, but hopefully it can get these guys hyped up and, you know, and play some good baseball.
Scott, someone asked me this today to ask you, knowing you were going to be on, but they're changing in the weather where, man, it gets cold, then it gets warms up, and then it gets hot, then it cools. I mean, that sort of thing. As a baseball player, to adjust to that, and what does that do to your game? And I thought it was a good question. I don't think I've ever asked you that. But especially this time of year, February and March, when you have those days where, man, it could be cold, you know, on a Tuesday and then as hot as hell on a Wednesday.
Yeah, so the cold weather, believe it or not, as a pitcher, I love the cold weather. The only thing that I always had trouble with was keeping moisture in my hands. So that's why you see pitchers lick a lot. Same thing with IE quarterbacks, you know, in football, when, you know, when you see them, when they're always licking their hands in football. But hitters don't really like the cold weather, to be honest, because obviously it's not fun. They stand around the field a lot more. They don't do a lot during the innings, you know, when they're in the field, except if they run around back in the bases or something. But it, you know, everybody kind of wants a little heat, you know, to show up. I mean, I don't think anybody wants 95 to 100 because that believe it or not, that is just as bad as – I'd rather it be 55 or 45 than be 95 to 100 because that just absolutely wears your body out. And after, you know, 50, 60 pitches, three, four innings, like you literally hope you just catch your second win. But you know, the weather can definitely play a factor. But the main thing it really messes with is, like I said, the grip on the baseball. You know, so as long as you can get a good grip on a baseball and keep your hands moist, and for pitchers, it does stink because it does take a little longer to get warmed up. But once you get warmed up, you can pretty much stay warm, i.e. by going into the clubhouse in between innings when you're not pitching, you know, all that good stuff. So, but I'd much rather with cold because those guys hate it hitting in the cold.
I don't know if the SEC will pass this rule or not, but Jared Jones stealing bases is not a good thing for any infielder. Man, you see the big man move out there, and it's amazing because, man, you see how he's built and everything, and now stole a couple bases a couple of nights ago. And you brought it up last year, and I brought it up to Coach Johnson. You're the first one to sort of bring it up about you saw the change in him. That, you know, he became that, you know, it was either strikeout or home run. It was one of the two. Now he's become much more selective as a hitter. But now this dude's starting to steal bases, and he's a big man out there on that baseball diamond.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a defensive end, I'll tell you that, in football, for sure. But I'll tell you one thing, every time he slides to second base, I'm like, we need to work on his sliding drills because he keeps hitting and rolling to one side. I'm like, no, we can't get you hurt trying to steal second base against Nichols in a midweek game, buddy. You know what I mean? So, but hey, you know, he wants to be a complete baseball player, and I get that. And, you know, that's one thing about Jay. Jay doesn't care if you're the big power hitter or if you're Steven Milam. And if he thinks he can take a bag to get an extra run, obviously during the midweek when you got a bunch of games to get that game over with, you know, in seven innings, he's going to do what he has to do.
And then, Scott, looking ahead to the Frisco Classic this weekend as well, I think there's some interesting matchups there. Kansas State's one that, you know, they got off to a really poor start. They had a tournament in Conway at Coastal's place, and they lost a couple games to Coastal. They lost a game to North Carolina in the midweek. So they picked up some early losses. But then this past week, they were actually at Globe Life Field, and they picked up some huge wins against, you know, teams like Arkansas and TCU and Michigan. So they've really bounced back from a slow start. I know they're 4-4 on the season. But then Nebraska, you know, a team that was in the top 25 before UL took them down in 2 or 3 this past weekend. I'm obviously very happy about that, being a Cajun grad. But and then also Sam Houston State, who's always got a good program. It's a really fascinating weekend series, but the way the arms line up, and we talked with Aaron Fitt about this last night, you know, with Cade Anderson and Anthony Ianson and Chase Shores, and, you know, where you kind of put that rotation, weekend rotation, as far as the best in the country, just from a stuff advantage. And I think, you know, when we were talking with them, yes, you can say the level of competition may have not been there so far with teams like Omaha and just early on in the season. But at the same time, stuff travels, Scott. And I think that this is going to be a big test early on in the season. But I'm very confident in those three pitchers having great showings.
Oh, 100%. I mean, obviously, you know, when you start putting, you know, pen to paper and start putting, you know, talent to talent, obviously those three guys are going to be the top talented, you know, starting pitches, you know, this weekend, and, you know, there in Frisco. So, obviously, you take your chances with stuff anytime. Any, you know, obviously, the three teams they're going to play, they are baseball, you know, schools. They've had some success. They've had some ups. They've had some downs. You know, but you're going to have to go out and play baseball to beat them. You know, they're not going to show up and roll over because you're LSU. You know, so the one thing I am interested to see, I have a feeling that, you know, with both of the guys going, Ianson and Shores going both on Saturday, I have a feeling that Jay may flip those two this week, and have Shores going Saturday and Ianson on Sunday. That's just my gut feel. I'm not, don't know anything, but that's just kind of my gut feel. and it'd be interesting to see what he does. But I like the Tigers' chances, you know, just because of the depth in general of their pitching staff. I mean, I think they've thrown 15 or 16 guys, and it's been impressive. And like I said, I know they haven't played the greatest talent, but still, it's so many strikeouts compared to so little walks. That's what's key.
Scott, last question for you, and I know it's early in the season, but has been someone on this roster that, you know, you had a certain impression of him before the season, and he's really impressed you more than you thought he would be at this point?
Well, actually, Hernandez, the catcher, has really impressed me behind the plate, you know, because I knew he was a hitter. Didn't really know, you know, much about him catching-wise because I think he DH'd and played some first base last year at Indiana State. But, I, you know, I watched him behind the plate, and he's been very, you know, I'm not saying he's a gold glove defender, but with the bat he has, you know, he's a above average defender because of his bat, you know what I mean? So I was he's the one for sure. And obviously, you know, Stanfield's, you know, he's been hitting, which that's going to be one of the keys to LSU having a great SEC, you know, SEC run. If he can hit, you know, even if he has to fall to the 9-hole and just be a 9-hole guy and play, you know, gold glove center field, but if he can hit 300 or, you know, and still say you 20, 30 bases, he's the other one. I love watching him play center field, to be honest.
Scott, thanks so much for joining us. You doing some autographing this weekend or what?
I'm going to try to do it. Absolutely none.
What? Come on. Well, I got the grandkids, so I got to deal with it. But
that's right.
All righty. Scott, thanks so much for joining us, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
You have a great evening.
All righty.
Thank you.
Scott Sanders, former Nichols State pitcher, pitched, I think, 8 years in the major leagues, and now giving us really great scouting reports each and every week on the LSU baseball team.
This is the biggest week non-conference that LSU has scheduled. DBU is a top 20 team. Kansas State, as I mentioned, has already picked up premium top 25 wins over teams like Arkansas and TCU. And then Nebraska was a top 25 team before UL took them down. Sam Houston State's got a good program. These are the four games that you kind of highlight in non-conference play, and they're all in the same week. So it's very exciting.
We'll be back with our triple option feature right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. It's our triple option feature. Steven, you first.
Well, there was some negative news surrounding UNO today, but the positive part of it was some optimism surrounding the program, despite being tied to that NCAA sports betting investigation. The school, held a press conference today announcing that Percy Master P. Miller is the new president of basketball operations there. You know, he laid out a plan for UNO's return to being a successful mid-major program, which includes getting area businesses on board to help with the name, image, and likeness battle. UNO men's basketball this season, guys, began the new era, the Stacy Hollowell taking over, and the team's 4-25 right now. Yep. In his first season. There's two games left on the year. So, yeah, it's been rough, and we know the school's faced the recent budget cuts, deficit that's resulted in the cuts over there at the university. And while there's some uncertainty still surrounding everything, the addition of Master P has a little bit of a brighter future for hopefully ahead for men's basketball at UNO.
Charlie?
Guys, he didn't shoot very well last night, but in the premium matchup between the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers, Luka Doncic made history. And let me explain. So he recorded 19 points, 15 rebounds, 12 assists, a triple-double in the Lakers' 107-99 victory over the Mavericks, his first matchup against his former team. And Cullen Steele sent me this. I think it's a great stat via Bleacher Report. Luka joined LeBron James and Russell Westbrook as the only three players to record a triple-double versus all 30 NBA teams last night. So, Luka got his revenge, the Mavericks picked up a loss, the Lakers picked up a W, and Luka Doncic, even though he didn't have a great shooting night, picked up a very crucial triple-double in that victory.
We've had this twice, back-to-back days, asking me about Jack Sawyer, the defensive end from Ohio State. Jack was a five-star recruit. Ohio State gets a lot of those guys. He was a former tight end in high school, moved over to defensive end. And his style of play in watching him so many games at Ohio State, it reminds me of a guy that wore the black and gold for a little while, Trey Hendrickson. Now, not trying to compare players because Jack's a little bit taller, a little bit more filled out. at this stage of his career than Trey was when he came out. But they have a lot of similarities between one another. I would look at Jack as an early second-round pick. He could play defensive end in a 4-3 lineup. I could also stand him up as a 3-4 defensive end outside linebacker, as a pass rusher. Really good athlete. I love his pedal to the metal. He gives it to you on each and every play, and he's a playmaker on the defensive side of the football, puts a lot of pressure points on quarterbacks and getting into the backfield. And, man, if I could get him and Taliq Williams, play him on the nose, it'd be pretty good there. But to answer your question, I've got Jack Sawyer and kind of a group of players from 25 to 40. That they could all kind of interchange one another. Jack Sawyer is one of those guys, and he is a bit of a hybrid in that he could play as a 3-4 outside linebacker or as a 4-3 defensive end. But if I was to comp him, it would be Trey Hendrickson.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
He's a little taller, a little bit more filled out. Watch how he plays. His style of play.
I love Jack Sawyer. Mike, I had him going in the first round. He feels like a Dan Campbell type of guy, and if he's there at pick 28, I think you would have to maybe convince them not to take him. But if he's somehow there at pick 40 for the Saints in the second round, I would be completely fine with taking him.
Run up with that card right away, because, again, in this new defense, now you don't have a nose guard. So that's something this team's going to have to look at or look for in the offseason. But also guys that are a little bit versatile. At that outside line, 3-4 outside linebacker position that could also play as a 4-3 defensive end. Jack Sawyer can do both of them. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank all the callers that called in. Sorry we couldn't get to everyone, but Steve, in the 6 o'clock hour, you got somebody that knows a little bit about the NFL draft. He works, he's one of the senior analysts and data science guys. Former Tulane linebacker.
Sam Brookhouse. Yeah, we had a great interview with him during Radio Row during Super Bowl, so I figured let's get him on right now. The NFL Combine in action. Get some of his thoughts on some players.
And at 7 o'clock, LSU playing Dallas Baptist.
Big time.
Right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.